Amen. Brother Yuri, I want to introduce our speaker for this morning, Brother Yuri, who is a living epistle. He is a man of God that I have had the opportunity and the honor of watching his life. And many of you are here because of his rich and beautiful life. So I am grateful to you for every time I have seen you. Good, bad, happy, sad times, you have displayed the joy of the Lord as being your strength. I don't know about you, but Brother Yuri, you've helped me to understand what faith in action looks like. It is walking with God when it hurts, when it's disappointment, when the Lord takes you through the hills and the valleys of life, but yet you still stand and you declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I love you. I've seen God heal you and put his hand on you and your family. So thank you for living a rich life. We are the light of the world. Brother Yuri, thank you for being a bright light in this dark world. So be blessed. We look to you to give us a word that will transform our lives. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Jewel. Good morning. I'd like to start out reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. It'll come up on the slide, I believe. You can also read along in your Bibles. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this moment in time, remembering that as we worship, as we gather here to adore you, to proclaim you, to think upon you, that in our community, our country, the world, other groups have gathered. People have gathered to worship you, to adore you, to hear your word. We thank you that we can join in locally here, knowing the church worldwide, our brothers and sisters, across different time zones. Some have already gathered, some are gathering now, some will gather. But we thank you that we are linked. And even so, we also remember that many in our community and country and world are suffering and hurting. We remember them, Lord. we remember each other. And in this moment, we pray that you would hear our hearts, our cries. We pray that you would be near to the brokenhearted. And Lord, we pray that you would soften our hearts to hear you, to see you, to taste you, and know that you are good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's a blessing to be with all of you here today, including our virtual village and family who are tuning in online. For those of you I haven't met yet, my name is Yuri Vanderheiden, and my family and I have been here for about 2.5 years at Strong Tower, and we're so grateful for all the many ways that God has used you, our church family, to bless and encourage and challenge us. I'm grateful to Pastor Chris, who's given me the opportunity to share with you all today. He and Pastor Darina are in Virginia today. They're celebrating Darina's father's 43rd church anniversary. And Pastor Chris is preaching there this morning. It's especially wonderful to continue in the joyous celebration of Strong Tower's 30th anniversary. In our family, we have a tradition for birthdays that involves three questions. The first is, what's your favorite memory since your last birthday? The second, what are you most looking forward to in the year ahead? And the last one, and maybe the most important one, is if you could have any superpower, what would it be? Now, ideally, we would show deference and respect to the person being celebrated. But in our house, the question usually turns into an argument about whose superpower choice is the best. I'm convinced that flying is the best. It is the stuff of dreams. But some of my sons like to argue. They get agitated trying to convince everyone else that teleportation is the best. They want to be able to show up anywhere in the world instantly. Now, for many superpowers we might wish for, including teleportation, we see a desire to defy the limitations of our natural bodies. Some of us older saints, we understand limitations of our bodies a little more than the younger people among us. My wife showed me a joke on the internet the other day. We used to get injured falling off our bikes, and now we can get injured in our sleep, waking up with neck pain or back pain. Outwardly, we are wasting away, right? What I want to talk about today is something all of us, young and old, have experienced in one way or another. Pain. I want to talk about pain and the experience of physical and emotional pain that we endure, also called suffering. By definition, pain and suffering are unpleasant. So thinking about recent or ongoing pain and suffering in your life may be uncomfortable. But there's no doubt that everyone is dealing with something. You might be enduring physical pain or suffering through chronic illness. You might be suffering from mental anguish, maybe due to circumstances happening to loved ones, or because of injustice done to you or others, or depression or anxiety that you can't explain, or because you just don't see how you're going to make it through one more day. Maybe you think about shame or situations that arose as consequences of bad choices or sin. Maybe you're suffering because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe something else. Many times, for those of us who are followers of Christ, we pray for God to deliver us from our trials and troubles. And make no mistake, here at Strong Tower, we believe that God can heal and deliver us just as he could when Jesus walked the earth. We have a harder time asking for or accepting that many times God wants to deliver us through our trials. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Is it wrong to ask God to heal us or our loved ones, to deliver us from troubles and trials? Not at all. We can cry out like David in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, and so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And we can reach out and try to touch the hem of his garment. But what do we do when his answer is not an immediate yes? When it's no, or keep waiting? I think the rest of our passage in 1 Peter can be very reassuring here, that God uses the trials and troubles in our lives to refine our faith. The image is of gold being refined. And this process of removing impurities requires great heat from fire. And the author here is telling us gold is temporary. It's not eternal. So how much more valuable is your faith, a faith that is molded and refined and developed with an eternal destiny? And to what end? To praise, glory, and honor of Jesus Christ when he is revealed. Brothers and sisters, we pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we know that this broken and beautiful world is not the end. Jesus Christ will be revealed, and we will behold and experience him far more fully than we do now. Praise God. I've been learning that the way we approach pain and suffering, the way we process and work through it, can make a huge difference. Some of you know that I'm an infectious diseases doctor. As a medical student, one of my responsibilities was to check on patients I was following in the hospital early in the morning before we made our team rounds. Well, one morning I walked into the room of a patient who wasn't thinking clearly because his kidneys were not working properly. This particular morning, he acted very differently from the previous day. As soon as I greeted him, he stood up and walked out the door without a word. He'd been sitting straight up in bed with all of his belongings stacked neatly beside him. He grabbed them, pushed right past me. My curiosity became panic as he walked to the elevator, exited on the ground floor, and walked out the front of the hospital. Before I could, so at that time, I called out to a fellow medical student, Rob sitting right here. I said, please call security, get some help. I don't know what to do. I got back next to him, trying to talk to him, to convince him to come back. I even tried to block his way, and he walked right around me, determined. Well, as I kept trying to redirect him, to my horror, he took a right turn and walked right down the steep slope on a hill in front of the hospital. And before I could do anything else, he fell forward, full forward roll, belongings flying everywhere through the air, and he skidded to a halt. And I ran down as quick as I could and extended my hand down to reach out and try to help him up. And he looked up at me, made eye contact directly with me, and he said, I wish you hadn't have pushed me down. We gathered his belongings and kept going down the hill, and eventually security and the EMS came and got him. He had gone to a parking deck across the road, and they returned him safely to his hospital room. I wish you hadn't have pushed me down. Sometimes, if I'm honest, I find myself in a frame of mind, not thinking clearly, when I focus more on escape, on my own solution to a problem that I don't even completely understand. And I can't even see the Father standing right beside me or extending his gracious hand to pick me up and reorient me to his presence. Look again at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, where we see God giving us new birth, new life into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ with a guaranteed inheritance. And until we get there, we are shielded by God's power through faith. That is the faith that is being refined. So if troubles happen to us, does that mean God isn't powerful enough to save us from them? No, it means he has seen fit to deliver us through them. 2023 was a difficult year for my family and I. In August, my father died suddenly while riding his bicycle. And 3 months later, I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. In a whirlwind of tests and appointments, my wife Kate and I remember hearing one of the doctors say, "This does not look good." The tumor was wrapped around my blood vessels, making me ineligible for a Whipple surgery, one of the few hopes for a cure. I went through 6 months of chemotherapy, and praise God, the tumor shrunk so much that I became eligible for the surgery. So in May 2024, I had a rearrangement of my plumbing. That's the Whipple surgery. There were some complications afterward, but I was finally getting back on track when my follow-up scans found thickening at the area of the original cancer. Because it kept growing, the biggest concern was that the cancer was back. So in April of this year, I had high-dose radiation treatment, from which I'm still recovering. When I think back on this journey, several points stick out. The first point is that gratitude, even through pain and suffering, can make a world of difference. I'd like you to take just a moment and think about what your life would be like if you couldn't feel pain. Many of us might think about the vision of the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation 21. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What a marvelous future awaits us. But on this earth, our lives would be dramatically more difficult. One of my medical heroes is Dr. Paul Brand. He grew up a missionary and to missionary parents in a remote area of India. And he writes about his experience taking care of people with leprosy. He opens his book titled The Gift of Pain with a story about a young girl who had a rare condition in which she was unable to register pain. She had infected sores on her feet with exposed bones. She had dislocated joints. And she had even bitten the tips off of her fingers. Her parents were at their wits' end. They didn't know how to care for her. Similarly, many patients affected by leprosy were unable to perceive pain in their toes and feet and would run on dislocated ankles or put pressure on blistering wounds slowly and unknowingly, making them worse. We might not know anybody with such rare conditions, but I'll bet nearly all of us know someone or maybe ourselves have diabetes or sugar. Years of high blood sugar can damage nerves, leading to a medical term called neuropathy, a strange combination of decreased sensation with burning or tingling that usually starts in the toes and fingers. Other things can cause neuropathy. I still have it as a result of chemotherapy to treat cancer. The problem is the same. When we can't feel pain correctly, we don't make the necessary adjustments or pay attention to the wounds and sores that are developing. This can eventually lead to so much damage that amputations are needed. So Dr. Brand argues that pain is actually a gift in that it helps us know that something is wrong and gives us an opportunity to adjust, seek help, receive care. My friend and physical therapist Ryan challenged me recently to pay attention to the pain I was going through, to listen to the signals that God has created in our body to carry and then respond with wisdom. In my case, with desperately needed rest, rather than pushing through all the difficulties in the same way I was used to doing before I had cancer. So rather than becoming embittered by the pain and trouble, we're invited to give thanks in all circumstances. Another point I've learned is that even though I don't understand why pain and suffering happen, God has a redeeming purpose. We've read about the refining of our faith, and in Romans 5, Paul encourages us to glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. I'm convinced that this sequence often develops in the context of community, and I want us to spend a moment looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. I've seen firsthand how the Holy Spirit prompts us to pray and care for one another. And it comes through differently when we understand our utter dependence on God. As Pastor Tim Keller wrote, when pain and suffering come upon us, we finally see not only that we are not in control of our lives, but that we never were. When we release that need to be in control, we can grow in our trust in God. Last week, Pastor Chris began a sermon series in which he talked about the anointing and how the Spirit poured out in us is helping us grow. I think that good Holy Spirit fruit that he grows in us is meant for others to receive and taste and see that God is good. And that is best done when he is on the throne and we are not, when he is becoming greater and we are becoming less. When we relinquish the illusion of control, we can see God's hand reaching out for us, supporting us, and directing us with purpose to accomplish his kingdom work. And that work includes how we receive God's comfort and then pour out comfort to those God has put in our path. God is the source. And when we allow God's comfort to overflow to others, we don't run dry like we do when we're trying to do it on our own strength. Finally, I've thought a lot about the tension between what we experience in pain and suffering as individuals and in community. It's wonderful to reflect on how well my wife and children have taken such great care of me, and you all and so many others continue to take such heartfelt care of us. Despite all the support, I've gone through many sleepless nights, alone and in the dark. I've shuffled through chemotherapy, clinging through brain fog to a repeated mantra from Psalm 18:1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. But the hardest parts haven't been the physical symptoms of pain and nausea and fatigue, but the gut-wrenching grief, anticipating how my death would affect my wife and children, and how I long to grow older alongside them. Like Psalm 30 says, weeping may stay for the night. The title of today's sermon is Trouble So Hard, and it's inspired by the 1937 song of the same name by Adele Hall Ward, also known as Vera Hall. She was a black woman famous for early American folk and blues music that was inspired, had its roots in spirituals from the time of slavery. One of the repeated lines is, "Don't nobody know my troubles but God." In many of the Psalms, we find our own voices crying out to God out of solitary suffering. Like in Psalm 56, a miktam of David, who says, "Record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record?" But here's a surprising thing to me. For me, some of the treasures of this journey have been the unmistakable presence of God in the watches of the night, where he has met me through my burning tears in deeper ways than I've ever known. There are parts of each of our journeys that we will endure alone, leading up to the final journey through death that we will face with the only one who truly knows all our troubles, Jesus. But he has also shown up so often in the way his body, you all, have ministered his presence. Like Romans 12 tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. We share each other's burdens in community. And let me just say, in a healthy community, we don't have to compare each other's burdens in a way that trivializes our own troubles or the troubles of another person. Sometimes I hear people who are reluctant to share their requests for prayer, their requests for help, because they point out how it compares to what I must be going through with cancer. I would urge you to reconsider, because all of us can point to someone who has it worse or easier. The point is that we look together at the head of the body for comfort and allow his comfort to flow to each other, because we have been shown compassion by God, so we can have compassion on others, no matter what they're going through. And if we're gonna make any comparisons, then let's remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Do you hear that same chorus from 1 Peter chapter 1? As monumental as our sufferings may be here and now in this life, they pale in comparison to the glory that is eternally promised, the glory of Jesus ruling and reigning forever. As part of our lives together in the body, I think that some of us are being called to step up in courage to find ways to get to know the people we're sitting near and press in to find out how we can be a conduit for God's comfort. For others, the step of courage might be to share your needs with someone else, with someone here. Both of these steps of courage can happen on a personal level or through many of the ministries that we have here at Strong Tower. I want to highlight a new ministry that Lasagna has just started, the Helping Hands Ministry. This is a way that we can assist our seasoned saints, singles, and physically limited brothers and sisters in tangible ways. Look for more information to come if you're interested. Well, some of you have asked where things are for me and my health now. Right now, my medical care involves getting a scan and some blood work every 2 months to see if there's any sign of more cancer and hoping that no new symptoms arise in between scans. As I learn to trust God more and more through occasional sleepless nights still and anxious thoughts, I cling to the words of Psalm 112, verses 4 through 8. I think there's a slide for those. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. A brother in Christ named John Eaves, who died of cancer several years ago, wrote a book called Finishing Well, Learning to Live Through Terminal Illness. As he reflected on the verses we just read, he said, "The reality of my condition is that for a follower of Jesus Christ, cancer never wins." Through this journey, I've been blessed to experience the profound love of God in new ways, and that has helped me reframe my perspective. Yes, I have a terrible medical diagnosis and prognosis. But the greater truth is that my life is in His hands. God alone numbers my days. Now, I don't know that number, but I do know that the one who is in control loves me and is far wiser in His purposes than I am. Brothers and sisters, I want to make an important distinction as we think about pain and suffering. Just because we glory in our sufferings does not mean we go out seeking them, nor do we glorify our sufferings. One of the most helpful engagements with this idea that I've recently read is from Martin Luther King Jr. as he reflected on his personal experiences of suffering. He said, "My personal trials have also taught me the value of unmerited suffering. As my sufferings mounted, I soon realized that there were two ways that I could respond to my situation, either to react with bitterness or seek to transform the suffering into a creative force. I decided to follow the latter course." Then he says, "I have lived these last few years with the conviction that unearned suffering is redemptive." And finally, he concludes with, "The suffering and agonizing moments through which I have passed over the last few years have also drawn me closer to God. More than ever before, I'm convinced of the reality of a personal God." Our neighbor, Pastor Micah Edmondson, wrote his doctoral dissertation on Martin Luther King Jr.'s redemptive suffering theodicy. And he has this to say, "King distinguishes between engaging with suffering and suffering itself. Suffering itself is not good. It came about because evil, sin, and death have come into the world. But their presence provides a way to engage in suffering that brings glory to God." Well, friends, Jesus told us that we would have trouble in this world. And then he said, "Take heart. I have overcome the world." How did he do this? The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. When He took on flesh, He took on our bodily limitations. He humbled Himself. He subjected Himself to physical pain, hunger, fatigue, poverty, injustice, death. He experienced grief when Lazarus died, mental anguish when he prayed alone in the garden. And he did it all because of love. Later in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read that the Spirit of Christ spoke to the prophets about the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. One of the prophets was Isaiah, who wrote, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." Friends, this outpouring of love is the backdrop for the glorious heavenly position of Christ now, and why when we believe the good news of the gospel and follow Christ, we can have immediate relief and continual joy and hope. Hebrews 4 tells us, "Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, yet was just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne with throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." In closing, I want to circle back to teleportation. And I'm sorry to disappoint you, but none of us have that superpower. We may not be able to teleport, but we can transport one another physically and spiritually. One of my favorite stories in the Gospels is when a group of men tried to bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. The crowd was too big, so they climbed on a building, dug through the roof, and lowered their friend down to Jesus. Friends, sometimes we will be the ones who need to be lowered down. Whether our physical ailments or our mental state, or even our doubts, render us unable to get to Jesus ourselves. Sometimes we need friends to lower us down to him. Other times, we will be the ones to help dig through the roof, to lower our friends down to Jesus. That is a blessing to be celebrated and fully enjoyed, because there is nothing better than being transported close to Jesus, who deserves all praise, glory, and honor now, when he's revealed, and forevermore. Would you pray with me? Lord, we're so grateful that you are close to the brokenhearted. We praise your name. Lord, help us to see that you are near, that you have open arms to embrace us, and that you will carry us and guide us with a yoke and a burden that is easy and light, finding our rest in you, finding our healing in you. Lord, show us the way. The way of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.